In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives. Amen. You can feel it in the air. Like the lights have started going up. There's evergreen boughs being placed, mistletoe strategically mounted. If you go into, people are getting ready to get shopping. Christmas lists are being made. The excitement around this buying and receiving of goods that we do on a yearly basis is kind of beginning to start. And when you go into these stores, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock, jingle bell swing and jingle bell ring, right? It's a holly, jolly, festive Christmas time. We're all looking forward to that moment where, you know, maybe it's going to be white, maybe it's not going to be white, but everybody's going to be gathered around and we're going to sing carols and we're going to feel good and it's all about hope and joy and peace. And everybody's going to be happy. So it's odd that in the church, we don't quite do it that way exactly. Like, this is the beginning of Advent. This is the beginning of our looking forward to that moment of Emmanuel, that moment of us celebrating where God is with us. And yet, we sing a song of rejoice, but we sing it in a minor key. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Do you hear the sadness there? The melancholy we sing, it's about rejoicing. But it's done with such feeling and emotion, the grief behind it. And we read this text where the sun will be darkened and the moon will not show its light and the stars will fall from the sky and everything will be dark. What does that have to do with Christmas? For the Son of Man will come. It's this waiting, it's this expectation, it's this longing. And it's not that we don't believe in hope and peace and joy. I mean, after all, we invented the holiday, right? It was our holiday to begin with. We're the ones that created it. It's not that we don't believe in those things, but we believe that those things don't matter if it's divorced from the reality of our lives, if it's divorced from the context of our lives. That quite honestly, our lives aren't always peaceful, and they're not always hopeful, and they're not always joyful. You want to talk about peace, and yet we live in a world where there are wars and rumors of wars. There are refugee crises going on all over, even impacting Canada, where people are crossing our borders because they're afraid. We've got two mentally unstable individuals with their buttons, with their fingers on nuclear weapons buttons, Donald Trump and Kim Il-sung. And they're getting into a pissing match, right? And the lives of all of humanity is at stake. Wake up. There's no peace. We live in a world where we long for hope. But really? Our world is dying. We're killing the creatures of this earth. We're changing our climate in ways that are leading to increasing, you know, climatic events that are greater destruction, greater death. The same kind of economic opportunity and hopefulness that we had when we were growing up, that baby boomers had when they were growing up, or Gen Xers even had when they were growing up, is not true for younger generations. They can't look in the future and say that, yes, it's going to work out for them. They don't know. And there's a higher incidence of anxiety and depression among that age group than there ever has been. Wake up. This is the season of joy, and we are some of the wealthiest people in the history of the world. And we're going to celebrate in that and buy amazing things for ourselves and amazing things that we're going to give to each other. And yet we also have a higher incidence of solitude and isolation and aloneness than ever before. There's epidemic proportions of addiction. People are trying to self-medicate their pain. And we need to wake up. So what I'm going to suggest is three potential ways of waking up, things we need to wake up to that I think will help us towards creating a place where there is genuine joy and genuine peace and genuine hope. And the first is to wake up to the fact that you are created in the image of God, which means that you matter. You have the power to create. You have the power to build. You have the power to give life and create spaces that lead to human flourishing. And you, I, we collectively have the power to tear it apart, to create conflict, to create destruction, to kill, to murder, to maim, and destroy. Part of what it means to be created in the image of God is that we are moral beings. Our actions matter, and we have power to change the world or destroy the world. And even in our indifference, we still have power. Even in our apathy, if we don't do anything, people still suffer. People are still homeless. And our apathy helps create the conditions that make that happen. I commend to you this quote by Brian Doyle. I commend to you this article that it's taken from. This is somebody who knows he's created in the image of God. And this is part of what I think it means. Of course, you do your absolute best to find and hone and wield your divine gifts against the dark. You do your best to reach out tenderly to touch and elevate as many people as you can reach. You bring your naked love and defiant courage and salty grace to bear as much as you can with all the attentiveness and humor you can muster. This is, after all, a miracle in which we live, and we ought to pay ferocious attention every moment if possible, because we are created in the image of God. Second way that I think we need to wake up is, and Mumford & Sons gets it, wake your soul up. Believe you have a soul. Believe, which is to say that you're a spiritual being. That you're more than just flesh and bones and blood and guts. You know, and the more science researches our flesh and bone and blood and guts, it is astonishing how wonderfully and fearfully we are made. How amazing we are as embodied creatures. It's a sight, you know, it's a wonder. And this is not to take away from that, right? What science can't look at and what science can't explain is how this flesh and bone and blood and guts also writes poetry, also writes literature, creates art, makes music, longs for meaning. That we talk about God and are in search for something greater than ourselves. We're deeply, profoundly spiritual beings. And the danger of not paying attention to our own spirituality is that we end up getting caught up in a world that wants us to be focused just on our own materialism. It wants us to buy stuff. Again, I saw one of my favorite Jeep commercial. I was watching a movie the other night at the theater, and there was this Jeep commercial. And oh my gosh, it is one of the most deeply spiritual things, right? I love Jeep commercials. They just tag at everything in my being. They're so smart in terms of getting at my spirit. I want to go out and buy a Jeep. I want to be a Jeep owner. And I've been sucked in. They don't care about my spirit. They don't care about my soul. They do care about the money I would spend on a Jeep. Wake up. The third way of waking, I think, is even the hardest of all the three. I mean, to believe that we are created in the image of God, to believe that we are spiritual beings, that we have souls. But then to believe, ultimately, that we are loved by God. I think that's the hardest one. We say it all the time. We talk about it all the time. We say that God is love, and it's within God that we live and move and have our being. well, do we really know how deeply loved we are? Can we get past the things we don't like about ourselves? Can we get past the things that we feel guilty about and don't feel good about? Can we get past the things that we know all too well that feel like we're unlovable? Those things get in our way. Can we really believe that at our core, God loves us? Because if we don't, we're going to have a hard time loving ourselves. We're going to have a hard time loving our neighbors. We're definitely going to have a hard time loving this world that is in such need of love. What we celebrate at Christmas is that God is with us. Emmanuel, that's what it means. That God is with us, that God is for us, that God meets us in the midst of conflict and destruction that happens in our lives. God meets us in the rubble of war. That God meets us in the midst of despair, when things are dark and it doesn't feel like there's hope. That God meets us in our isolation, in our loneliness, in our own self-contempt. And God meets us to bring joy, to bring peace, to bring hope to this world. So wake up. Wake up to the fact that you're created in the image of God. Wake up to the fact that you have a soul, and your soul longs to thrive. Wake up to the fact that you are loved by God. Amen.